Hey, Vanya.
Yay. Hi, Mike Jensen.
How's it going?
It's going good. It's like, you know, it's a weekend, which is actually really nice. There's something really relaxing about it for me. I know you work on the weekends, but like I work during the week and it's usually like manic crazy every day. And so it's kind of nice right now because I feel like I don't have to do any. I mean, like, it's like I can schedule right. my day the way I want to just today. Because my Adam took the kids to my daughter's tournament.
Yes.
And so I've never missed one, you know, but I'm missing it today because guess what? I got stuff I got to catch up on.
Yeah, and we've been wanting to talk about,
yes.
you know, we'll probably veer off a little bit. We'll probably talk about certain events, but, you know, we wanted to talk about the Academy Awards. We've done that every year for the last 5-6
wow.
years.
And
yeah, right? So we wanted to have a little conversation about that. You watched the whole thing the night that it aired?
I did. I watched it late, assuming that I'd be able to get up and we'd be able to, you know.
Sure. That was talk. The original idea, was we were going to record the very next day. We've had to punt a few times, but it's fine. You know, like a little bit of time has passed, a little perspective. I've gotten to like listen to other perspectives and hear other opinions. And sometimes I'm like, that's interesting. And sometimes I'm like, you sound stupid. You know what I mean? Like everyone has their opinions on things. But I don't know. I overall really enjoyed the show.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. You know, listen, I always love Conan. I don't know. There's something about him. I know he's a little bit of a meaner humor sometimes, but like he's weird and wacky and I'm weird and wacky and he makes me feel like it's okay to be weird and wacky. That opening was amazing. I don't know.
It was very funny. Yeah.
And you know that took a lot. You know what's crazy? Side note, and I will tell more about this, but I am doing another podcast and one of the producers on that like opening scene, I mean that like very elaborate opening scene, produce that. So one of the producers who produced that is producing our podcast for my new podcast, which I'll tell you about more. But isn't that wild?
That's amazing.
He was like, I couldn't
talk about it before. Yeah, like where he's running through the scenes.
Yes!
That's always wild to me because I know that it's probably not, like in this day and age, it's probably fairly simple, but I watch that and I'm like, how on earth do you make that look so real and like make it look, because you have like Conan's character running through all these other films and you know that's actual footage from the film. And once again, like someone listening is like, Mike, it's not that big of a deal.
No,
but
I think it is.
For me watching it,
no.
right?
I
like
think
it just
is.
Looks so complicated.
It's very I'm like, you know, I work in advertising and we're making a 30 second sizzle and it's taken 2 weeks. So, you know, like, so I'm like, a lot went into it and definitely they used AI, but I do think in this case, and I think things are probably getting worse for AI, whatever, I'm not gonna worry about, but things are getting better because people are learning how to use it as like kind of like a brushstroke. So I could see it coming in and out and the kids were hilarious. And then when it cut to like the actual show, the kids are still running on stage. I'm like, that's a fun, like, you know, I love a theater moment.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, and like stupid me when like Conan is running down the aisle of the theater and then runs backstage and then suddenly the curtain lifts and it's him not in makeup. And I'm like, oh, that obviously wasn't him running down the aisle.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
But I bought it. Like I totally bought it when it was actually happening.
I love it. And did you know, I don't know if you remember, he mentioned something about having two hip replacements. He really did.
Wow.
I had to look it up. I'm like, what is he? Because remember back in the day, he would always do that like little
pulling the strings.
But he really had two hip replaces. Must be because he's so tall and maybe he was a dancer in another life. I mean, people need hip replacements for all sorts of reasons. But, you know, I always think my friends who are dancers have had hip replacements. Anywho.
Yeah, that's what I think of, too. Yeah, you know, we'll talk about it. And once again, I enjoyed the show. So any quibble that I have is like just that. It's just a quibble. I thought it went on a little bit long. I didn't necessarily need his whole like, if I won an Oscar and like. And I like Josh Groban, like not mad to see him, but I was kind of like, I don't think we need this part. I think the show can start by now.
Yeah, that's so funny. Oh yeah, I forgot about the Josh Groban part. What was it? What happened?
It was him, like, if I won an Oscar and him sort of like taking all the glory and he got up on a mountain.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
So it was still the Conan opening. Once again, it just went on a little bit long where I was like, well, we had a good opening. We had some jokes. We don't need we're kind of putting a hat on a hat.
Yeah,
like, we can go ahead and get into this show now.
But his voice sounded good, though.
It's Josh Groban.
Thought it was maybe like a nod because the whole time I was like mad at Timothy Chalamet. So I was like, maybe it was like a nod at like opera, like, fuck you. This is good.
Sure.
Man. But it was
a bit of that sprinkle throughout. My thing with that, I have a lot of thoughts on the whole Timothée Chalamet of it all. I do feel like when the first joke was made at his expense and he sort of like laughed along, I was like, maybe show a little humility. Maybe show a little of like, yeah, that I messed, like I probably, you know,
100%.
I said some things. I was kind of like, don't laugh at the joke that is about you making the bad joke. I don't know.
I don't
And
like
once again,
it.
Yeah, it was a bit much. And we can kind of talk about it as we get into acting categories. But, you know, one thing that I was saying about this year, it was kind of a strange year for me. And we've kind of talked about it in the past, is that like, while I have a lot of respect for a lot of the films that were made, and if we want to go right to like, you know, obviously The Knight was a bit of a one battle after another versus Sinners.
I guess
like,
I got to see one battle after another. I really wanted Sinners to win, but that was me.
I was very back and forth. And I don't mean this, once again, I don't mean this like blasé or like I wasn't crazy about either one of those films. I respect them both. I think they're both incredibly well made and they both have aspects that I thought were fantastic. Neither one were films that I was like, yeah. So for me, I was kind of like, and I mean that almost in like a relaxing way. Like I wasn't super stressed. I was kind of like, well, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to be happy. The two things that I cared about, the only two things that had to happen, and I knew they were both going to happen, but if either one hadn't have happened, it would have felt like we were just off the rails, was that I did need Jessie Buckley to win for leading actress for Hamnet. And that was never not going to happen. But like, I had that mild
you
thing of like,
know.
What if, what, yeah, right. You never know. Like, what if, and listen, Rose Byrne, and if I had legs, I'd kick you. That performance is amazing.
Really?
I wanted to die for the entire film.
Oh.
Like I wanted to not exist.
What's it
for
about?
The entire movie. Listen, it's all about postpartum and all about the struggles of motherhood. And I'm not saying we should make those. Like, those movies should exist. I think it was made best when it was called Night Bitch last year.
Oh, man, Night Bitch is the best movie ever.
Amazing. Like, and to me, like, that was the perfect way to make that film. If I Had Legs was just so, it was just one of those films where every scene was torturous. There was no moment of like, sometimes things are kind of not terrible. Like every single scene was just like, you thought that was bad, you know?
Yeah.
And those movies are just really hard for me to get into. So Rose Byrne was amazing, but I needed Jessie Buckley to win. I'm so glad that she did. I also, this is going to sound kind of silly, I needed Avatar to win Best Special Effects.
The lady, was reading it, it was Sigourney Weaver. She cried.
It was Sigourney Weaver. And that was kind of, and I always have moments when like a presenter has an attachment to one of the films that's in the cast. I'm always a little bit like, oh, I don't love when that happens.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like her reaction was like so beautiful and like heartfelt, and you could see that she was just, you know, emotional.
Genuine.
To be part of the moment. Yeah, 100%. And her thing with like, you know, Grogu in the audience of like, you know, get away from him, you bitch, the kind of thing with the Kate Hudson of it all was funny.
Yeah.
Once again, I thought the bit went on like a beat longer than it needed to.
Yeah.
I had a lot of those moments with the bits during the night was that I was like, that's cute. Let's go on. Like, let's get to.
Right.
So anyways, those are the two things I cared the most about. I was really glad they both happened. You know, from there on out, I honestly, when I saw, and I think when you watch one battle after another, I watched it thinking, well, Sean Penn's going to win. Like, the moment you watch it, you're kind of like, oh, why are we talking about anything else? And listen, there were a ton of actors and actors that were nominated and actors that weren't nominated that gave amazing performances. It was just for me. I remember sitting in the theater being like, well, Sean Penn's going to win it again.
Really?
It's just one of those performances that you kind of watch and you're like, yeah, that's what's going on here. And
I'll see it.
I had a little bit of that with, no, I shouldn't say that. I think that Amy Madigan's win for Weapons is so cool because she's a veteran, because she's been around for a while, and because we don't give awards to those kind of movies.
Yeah.
Like, we don't give awards to, like, the zany, crazy villain from the horror movie. And
I
was really happy for her as well. That was another category where so many women in it were incredibly deserving.
I want to see it for her. Weapons, I think, is right up my alley, though. I like a zany.
Weapons, I think you'll enjoy. Like, it is definitely a suspenseful film. I think that I've said this. Maybe watch it in the middle of the day and then watch something funny afterwards.
Yeah.
But it never does the thing you think it's going to do. Like, it's never just like, oh, they're about to scary thing. But it's always, it always zags. It always does the other thing instead. Like, I just thought it was once again, one of those films that like 10 minutes in, I was like, I'm just going to go with it.
Okay.
It is fairly batshit crazy. Like, you definitely have to like allow it to be what it is. But I was really into it. And, fun. You know, I thought the whole cast was fantastic. And Amy Madigan just got to do some really, really cool stuff. So
amazing.
And then I'm trying to think of other fun things that happened during the night. You know, it's funny. I talk about the bits that go on for too long. And in general, you know, and I'm sure they're good guys. The Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah. Who cares?
Who's Captain America? Chris Evans.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was just like, we're taking a lot of time with this not terribly funny bit, and we're going to go ahead and get Channing Tatum involved, and it's fine. Like, it was all fine. It just, once again, it felt a little bit bogged down. That said, I could have watched the Bridesmaids ladies go on for another 15 minutes.
Loved it so much. I was going to say that was probably my favorite spot.
It was for me as well. Like, they're just, all of them were so funny. And I was kind of bummed out that Wendy wasn't there. I guess that she was like having a neck lift. And
oh,
I
geez.
Was like, well, maybe schedule that for next
bad
week,
timing,
Wendy. Like, yeah.
Come on.
But it was super. I remember like watching towards the beginning when they had a shot of Rose Byrne, and then you could see Melissa McCarthy sitting behind her. And I was like, what's she doing there?
Right.
So anyways, it was just fun seeing them all get together later on. And once again, I just think their banter is so funny.
That's where I want to live always.
Right. Exactly. And then even like getting the little kid from Hamnet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I loved it. The kid from Hamnet was so cute. You know, the kid from Hamnet is in the movie my husband's working on right now. He's so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that I did know that. Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of wild because I have talked about his older brother on this podcast at least once, maybe more than once, because he's one of those actors that I saw, I want to say, and someone can look these films up and tell me that I'm wrong, that they came out like years apart, but I want to say that I saw him as one of the kids in A Quiet Place.
Oh, right.
In which there's not a lot of talking, but I feel like he uses an American accent at some point. I feel like I saw that the same week that I also saw Ford versus Ferrari.
Okay.
In which he uses his British accent because he's a British actor. And I was like, are you the same person?
What the hell is going on here?
Totally threw me off. And then he also plays like the Shia LaBeouf character in, oh God, Peanut Butter Falcon, whatever that movie was, that was sort of Shia LaBeouf's story. And he's like, anyway, he's an amazing, amazing actor. So when I went to see Hamnet and this little kid comes on, I'm like, that's funny how much he looks like that other actor. And then, of course, they're brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And the other actor is in Hamnet. Like, when you see it, you'll see, like,
he's one of the older brothers.
Both in
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, it was wild. I was like, this casting is amazing. And they're so, like, these kids are both so, he's probably not really a kid anymore, but he's always a kid to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, so talented.
Yeah.
Anyway, super, super funny. And then, you know, I really thought that what they did with the In Memoriam was beautiful.
Yeah. Although, I just, because for me, What's Her Buns, who passed, was meant a lot to me. And I feel like they gave a lot.
Sure.
They gave a lot to, which I understand. But I'm like, what about, oh my God. And I love her so much. I don't remember her name. Catherine O'Hara. Like, I love her so much. I wanted more about her because that really fucked me up. But I know that.
Diane Keaton.
Yeah. And I loved her too. But I'm more like a weird person. So I like, anyways.
Sure.
So it was beautiful. The whole thing was really beautiful.
And I like that they gave it more time. I mean, you also know that I like it when it's not like a person singing a song.
Yeah.
Though we kind of got to a person singing a song, which we can also talk about. But I just like the presentation. I thought Billy Crystal coming out. I don't know that I will ever. And it's so silly because, like, obviously I don't know these people in real life. The Rob Reiner and like his wife, like what happened.
It's yucky.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so upsetting to me that I don't know that I'll ever not just like ache inside when I think about that situation. But I do feel like Billy Crystal's words were so beautiful. And then having so many cast members on stage that had worked with him, like I thought was a beautiful moment. And then, Rachel McAdams talking about some of the women who had passed and like her obvious emotion that I thought that she did a beautiful job of working through. And then it was funny when Barbara Streisand showed up.
Right.
I feel like our friend Annabelle had said like, oh, I hear that Barbara Streisand's going to sing. And I, of course, was like, no, she's not.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to sing. Like, she's an older lady. Like, she doesn't really perform anymore.
Right.
And listen, I know that there were mixed feelings from some people. I know some people that thought that it was a bit much that she started singing. I thought it was beautiful. I thought she sounded fantastic.
It's an in memoriam kind of vibe, y'all. Like, that's what we do. What, I'm down with it. I'm fine.
I thought it was lovely. And, I know that part of it is just that we are getting older, but I definitely had a moment that I'm like, Jesus, so many people died. I know. Like, so many people that, like, are part of my consciousness that passed this year. Mm-hmm. And I, once again, I know that's just like, you know,
I'm like, I'm ready to go.
Start singing the circle
Take
game.
Me, Jesus. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I thought it was beautifully done. And like, they gave it some room to breathe. It wasn't as long as the Grammys In Memoriam, which went on real long this year.
Yeah.
But anyways, I thought it was beautifully done. And then, you know, some cool moments as far as, you know, cinematography, which I...
Oh, I love. She's cool.
She's very, very cool. And, you know, on one hand, Autumn Durald Arkapa, you know, she's the first woman to win Best Cinematography, which on one hand is depressing and on the other hand is beautiful, but let's go with beautiful. Yeah. Let's go with the achievement.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and I thought her speech was so great, and even her moment of just like, I want every woman in the audience to stand up. You
yeah.
know? I just thought it was
yeah,
I thought it was a great moment.
It was wonderful. I loved her groundedness, and I bet she's wonderful to work with. I'm just saying. And then I love that Ryan brought her son up quickly to the
yeah,
front.
Yeah, that was really
because
fun.
Because you know what? It's like, there's so much pressure to just be like, I'm almost like a robot in whatever field to be the best you could be. And it's like, no, we have families, we have friends, we have kids, we've got all this stuff. It's nice to see that like a person who has a normal life, I'm sure that they don't have a normal life, but you know, can actually sure. achieve and do beautiful things and like follow their passion and, you know.
And I thought that, you know, I have issues with certain speeches that go on and the idea of rattling off names. But I thought that Amy Madigan made a good point in the first speech of the night where she said, you know, they talk about us rattling off names. But these are people. These are people
yes.
that made it possible for us to do the things we do and get to the places that we get. And like, I think it's easy to forget that sometimes when you're hearing names.
Yeah.
And to you, you're like, just I don't know these people.
Yeah.
But those are people. Like, those are people that help them to achieve what they achieve.
Yeah.
So, and that brings me to my next point
okay.
that I want to make. Just let the fucking people
I
make
know.
Their speeches.
That was rude.
Like, I don't think it was purposeful that both times that people were cut off was for K-pop demon hunters. Like, it felt a little, I think that both of them were for that film. Maybe I'm wrong.
I know one of them was. I only remember the one that pissed me off. Like,
well, the other one ended up coming back where like they started to cut them off and then it cut to Conan, who was like, don't put the camera on me. You know, and like it went back and they let him finish his speech. And then Conan did make the joke of like yanking a mic away from someone while they're giving a speech is hilarious. You know, but like the idea of like, let's just listen. No one's turning the channel because a speech went 30 seconds too long.
No.
No one's just like over it. Like, we're here to watch
yeah.
the show. I want to hear the speeches. And then, yeah, with the last one where it was I think it was one of the songwriters of Golden for K-pop Demon Hunters,
yeah.
where they let her speak and then they completely cut him off. And like, I don't know. It just
rude.
Felt like, it's 30 to 40 seconds. Just let them talk.
Yeah, don't be rude. I agree with you 100%. I just feel like also next year it's going to be on YouTube TV. So maybe the timing won't. I mean, listen, we didn't need some of those comedy bits. So let a person talk, you know, like I love comedy.
And that's
but you know
what I
mean.
Get to with it. Like, right. And it's once again, it's personal preference and it's personal choice. Cause I want the bridesmaids to go on for 3 hours
Same.
And that would be fine with me.
Same.
But like, you know, if Conan O'Brien hadn't done his thing where he gets up on a mountain and sings about winning
yeah,
an Oscar, we
yeah,
could have
yeah,
had
yeah,
more
yeah.
speeches. And even like it's at Bill Pullman and his son and like their thing was cute. I get it. And he's super cute. I'll watch him do whatever.
I could have.
But it just is that thing. Right.
That
we just don't need
cringe.
As much of it. Let's just
yeah
it was a little cringy. It was a little cringy, and I know that it's a cute moment for this father son to get on stage and talk, but it's the Academy Awards. Let's keep anyway
yeah agreed.
And then, you know, not the Michael B. Jordan of it all, and it was funny
now
how
I'm happy.
You know, yeah, if you had asked me 4 months ago, I would have been like, it's Timmy, my friend Timmy, Timothy Chalamet. Like, if you ever see
Marty Supreme,
once again, a film that I thoroughly did not enjoy. It's incredibly well made. It's the acting is incredible. He's amazing in it. Like, what he does is incredible. Had you asked me a month ago, I would have been, I think Michael B. Jordan's gonna win.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, A, there's so much love for him.
I do.
Gaffes aside on Timothy Chalamet's side, like, what Michael B. Jordan does in that film is really, really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone likes him. Like, everyone talks about how he is simply like the nicest, kindest person in show business. So yeah, I thought it was a beautiful moment. I was super happy for him.
I loved it. I love the movie. He's so cute. Come on.
And then it was fun, you know, with his Friday Night Lights co-star there in the front row that they
I
kind of had
it.
A moment
Isn't
of like
fun? I know.
Super, super fun.
Like, you forget
so, yeah,
that
I
he's
was
a child actor, you know? I mean, that's a child.
And
acting.
That he's been doing it forever. So but long. He was like, yeah. I was watching some clips where I'm like, oh, right. You were around when you were like a wee lad. You know?
Just a wee lad.
And I was just, you know, I'm in the midst of my Parenthood rewatching. And he has a good chunk in Parenthood where he's
really?
In, I think, season two. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a great character arc that he gets to play. So anyways, cool. It was really enjoyable for him to get up on stage and just like feeling the love in the room. And even that moment where he just like sort of stood there and looked around, and you know that he's just like, I'm on the Academy Award stage. Like, it's what a beautiful moment. And I did not know what was going to happen. I really thought that Coogler was going to get original screenplay and that Anderson was going to get, and they did, like they got their respective screenplay. And when it came to director and picture, I think there was a lot of up in the air that it was going to go one way or another. I'm not surprised that it went with one battle in both director and in picture. I still think that when all is said and done, and when you see it, once again, incredibly well made. I have some quibbles with the end, okay. Some things that don't make a ton of sense to me, but that's still going to be the safer bet. It's still between those films is going to be the film that more people are going to side with. And Paul Thomas Anderson, what was this, like his 12th or 13th nomination over a lifetime? Like, I think it's nice to give him an Academy Award, you know? And other funny moment that, and we can talk about this category because I have thoughts, but I enjoy that we're doing a casting Oscar. Once again, I don't know if, like, there are 100 actors and 100 directors. I don't know how many casting directors there are out there, so I don't know how often it's going to be kind of the same group of people.
Right. Good point.
And is it always going to go with what ends up winning Best Picture? I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know.
This year it was the casting director of One Battle After Another, whose name is Cassandra Koulikoundis.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think, she's been working with Paul Thomas Anderson for a long time. Even her thing of like, I have one of these before you have one, I thought was kind of
I mean, she was a little awkward. I was like, oh.
She was a little awkward.
I wanted to fly far away a little bit.
I was like, but I think it's sort of that thing that happens when, you know, you have a casting director getting up on there. Like,
I
you know.
So. I know, I'm trying to think of like all the casting directors I know, although there's a bunch of classy people out there, but you know, it's just, ooh. I was like, eek, I feel uncomfortable. I feel very uncomfortable.
It's a category that I'll be curious to see going forward how it goes.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess historically we had a tie, which we haven't had a tie in 13 years.
That was cool.
Best live action short. They're never going to hear this, right? Those were my two least favorite. That
interesting. Really?
And I wasn't, at the same time, wasn't super surprised because The Singers is Netflix, so it has a lot of publicity. Two Strangers Exchanging Saliva is The New Yorker, and it's beautifully filmed.
It's a disgusting title.
It's just it's a weird short film.
I hate the word
saliva.
I
watch and I'm like, it's kind of a gross, but yeah.
I'd rather spit. Anyways, I didn't see either of those, but I did see that one of the guys who sings, like, I know him well. For 13 years, I saw him almost every week. One of the Buster guys was in Singer. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. I'm like, I know him, but not really. But you know, you feel like,
And I don't mean to take anything from the people involved. Like, everyone, you know, it's so hard to get anything done. I'm sure that the process of making that. And it was also funny because when I watched that particular short film, I thought that I knew almost everyone in it. And then the credits rolled and I'm like, oh, none of those people were famous. I just know them from like,
New York,
singing in the street or singing on the subway. Yeah. So in a respect, that was actually kind of cool as well. So I don't mean to like poo on either
don't
of the winners.
Don't you poo-poo on their party, Mike.
I know, right? And then, you know, I wasn't surprised about the documentary. I thought that Mr. Nobody versus Putin was a really, really interesting documentary. One of those ones that, and there were a lot of good documentaries this year, but that just happened to be one that I thought it really was just this guy who worked at a school in Russia who, in response to the propaganda that these students are being taught, tries to record it and then sneaks it out of Russia. And then we made a documentary out of it to show us this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like when a democracy is. Yeah, this is what they see. And this is how you lose your democracy.
Damn.
Like, this is how you lose freedom of press. This is how you lose freedom of speech. And so for me, it was just once again, so many good documentaries. But yeah, it was really chilling. It was really one of those things that I watched and just thought, I just wish that everyone in this country could see this. I wish we could all sit down and watch and be like, this is what happens. The echoes of what are happening in our country right now are terrifying. So yeah, And then the short documentary, Empty Rooms, which was about, you know, a reporter who documents the empty rooms of children who have died in school shootings. And to have the mom, one of the moms, get up there and read about her daughter was very effective. Yeah.
I want to be like, the, once again, they should redecorate the rooms. I mean, just, you know, but it's fine. I get it.
Listen, I have the same feeling. I 100% have the same feeling. And I don't know how long you keep something like that.
I don't know either. Honestly, like, if my kid died, I would be, you know.
And you can't know. Like, one cannot know how you would, right. You can't know how you would react to a situation like that.
I'm sure I wouldn't, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. It's a super, super tough topic, but I'm glad that it was made. I'm glad that hopefully more people will see it. I think that one is airing somewhere. It might be on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully. Or HBO or something. Although I find more and more it's harder to get to HBO because I don't want to digress, but I am having a hard time with my apps because it's in Hulu. So I have to like go to a thing and I have to go to another thing to get to it because it was cheaper to do it that way instead of having just the icon. But I just like, just make it easier for me. Also, I bit the bullet and I decided to, I have a trial, but I got YouTube TV, which has a live TV. And honestly, their recording is amazing. It's been great. I feel like I have control. If anyone, because I know we talk about streamers a lot here. And I'm feeling like, because I had Hulu and I was spending so much money. And then we kind of got a thing where it was like, you have the VPN trying to get live stuff. And it's too complicated and confusing for me. I don't care about saving money that much. So I'm like, I'll just do YouTube TV. But I'm liking it. I like the interface. It's easy to like find stuff. Very cool. By the way, I also want to mention, for the best picture, best director, I just love seeing Maya Rudolph. I love her.
It is
so much. Makes me happy.
It is fun seeing her kind of do anything, anytime. Even her part of the Bridesmaids thing, where she was like, you know, I was at home counting my money.
Yeah.
Like, that's just funny. That's just funny. You know, she's taking over the lead in Oh Mary for the next few weeks. And I'm like,
no.
God damn it. I can't see that show 8 times.
But you can.
But I know. I feel like I kind of have to see
her. Rhonda's going to see it. She has tickets. My sister-in-law lives in New York, and so she's going to see it. Yeah. So fun.
So, yeah. I mean, I think we covered most of the things.
Yeah,
Ludwig Göransson for Sinners.
Yep. I stand behind the animated film plus song, K-pop Demon Hunters. Love it.
Neither of those were surprises, and I was glad that they both won. Super enjoyable film. Super catchy song.
Yeah.
Oh, and what about the musical performances? You know, I always want there to be every song. I want every song to perform, and they chose to just do two.
Yeah.
But it was super effective. Oh. Super. I mean, the Sinners one
was like wrecked. I was sobbing in front of the TV. And then especially because that moment in the movie,
the moment in the film is stunning.
And then when, you know, what's her name came out, the ballerina, the Firebird ballerina.
And it was funny, Misty Copeland. Yeah, when I was like, is that Misty Copeland? Is that? And then it was.
And
I was like, good for her.
Fuck you, Timmy Chalamet. Go.
And I had the same thought. I don't know that one was planned because of the other, but, you know, it still was fun to just be like, you twirl in front of that little.
It's just so rude. Why would you put an art form down? Like, even if they
just
put,
doesn't make
like,
any
pottery
sense.
Down, I'd be like, you piece of shit. Why would you? It's like an expressive art and people love it. It doesn't mean everybody has to love it, you know? That's the thing with art. It's like, if it doesn't make money, then it's not worth as much. Go kiss my butt. Timothy Chalamet.
Right. And so I guess we can talk about that a little bit. And for those that don't know, like, there was a moment where it was Matthew McConaughey and Timothy Chalamet. And I don't know why that was happening in the first place, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. And where Timothy Chalamet has a thing about, and I think his point was, like, he's very invested in getting people to go to movie theaters. And I don't know where you then connect that thought to, like, I'm not worried about ballet or opera and no one cares about, like, I don't know where that thought happens in your brain. And then I really don't know what makes you want to say it out loud. Like, I'll never get what happened there. Yeah. And it just, it was kind of just a train wreck of a moment. And I don't think that's why he didn't win. I think that voting had already closed by the time that he made that particular comment. But yeah, it just was sort of a rotten cherry on a not very great Sunday that he had done with a campaign this last few months.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a weird moment.
Just
and I just think, you know, I don't think that he's a bad person.
Of
like, I think
not.
He's probably
a
good guy.
I've said stupid shit,
too. I think
it
was a mistake.
I've said awful things, but it's not being recorded and I'm not being interviewed. And right. So I guess I could have a little bit of sympathy for him, because it's true. I've put my foot in my mouth and I'd be like, oh, I didn't. But then in the moment, I would have been like, I mean, I don't mean that they're not or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't do a great job of retracting it. And I always think about, and it probably was like 2015 or something like that, when he won the Spirit Award for Call Me By Your Name. And I think about him getting up on stage, and his whole thing was, you guys, we're going to be fine. I know people are worried, but I look around this room and there are so many good people, and we're going to be fine. And I remember thinking, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're like a cute, straight, rich white guy. Like, you really don't have to worry a whole lot. And I think I get what his point was. I think his point was, let's have some faith and let's have some hope. And like, there are so many beautiful people in this world. But there's just that thing where I think when you've never really had to deal with a certain pushback, you know, and this is what that felt like to me too, was him just being like, I can say anything because, you know. Anyway, we'll see. Hopefully lessons are learned. And I think that's all that you can kind of hope for in situations like that, is like, maybe let's learn to think about our thoughts.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I've said things too. I've certainly said things where later I've been like, yeah, I could have said that better.
Yeah.
But I, so there you go.
Well, I'm going to give him a stink eye when I see him next. I'm going to give him a stink eye. He's going to get what for coming. I don't know.
Overall, an enjoyable night. Yeah. I had fun watching it. I think that we could have just made it 5 minutes longer and let everyone do their speeches, or 5 minutes shorter and cut some of those sketches down a little bit. But overall, I super enjoyed it. And that's mostly what we were going to talk about today. But I do want to take a moment at least, because let's talk about you. I want to talk about you. Let's talk about your podcast that you're doing.
I've been working a lot just at my jobby job. And taking care of the kids. And I've had a little bit of help with family coming down to help. But, you know, it's just not the same when you don't have your partner with you. So I feel like I am a little bit of a stretched, very thin. And when I started this, like, sort of podcast with another person, I wasn't working as much at all. And my husband wasn't planning to not be here. So I think I've really not done a lot of... I have to give, like, a big kudos to Jackie, my partner, who's, like, planned all the guests. And she really wants to have it filmed, so we're doing it in a studio where it's being filmed. And I was like, fun. I wouldn't even think... Because, you know, you and I have been podcasting since 2013, like, for different podcasts and this and that.
Right.
So I'm like, I could whip up a podcast, like, with my eyes closed. You know, like, technically speaking, I'm talking. And then, you know, you and I do it, like, remote. But she's like, she really wants to be in person. And like, it's what's been cool about this is that we're not launching until the 22nd of March, which is Sunday. It's tomorrow. We're launching tomorrow. But
it's tomorrow.
I'm not sure when you're going to post this, but 22nd of March is when. And it's called The Full Mom Tea. Like The Full Monty, but MOMTY. Like, it's like basically we're just telling it like it is, being a parent. Uh-huh. And also she's like a comedian. She's an actor, comedian. I obviously love comedy as well. I would, I've dipped my toes in it for my whole life, basically. So it's like really fun to be silly and just like we're doing the launch party tomorrow, and we've got some sketches that we wrote. We're going to perform and I might wear a wig. I'm going to sing. I'm going to play the guitar. I mean, it's like wild, but I am excited about it. And I'm very grateful because we are also paying people to edit it. And it's like, you know, it's nerve wracking because like the control is kind of like out of our hands, my hands, because I've not been able to like be a part of it much. But I think it's going to be fun. We have guests on that have to do, like, we have a sleep consultant on. We had a doula on. We've got horse therapy people. Like, all sorts. We usually have a guest and to sort of relate to the journey of parenthood in whatever way. And then, you know, both Jackie and I are neuro-spicy betches. So we talk about the struggles of being a parent and having different things going on with that and dealing with kids, with your own mental illness. Anywho, but I'm really excited, and I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm excited to perform, and I will definitely tell you where you can get it. It'll be anywhere you can get your podcast eventually. I have to figure that out after we get off because it's launching tomorrow.
Sure.
It'll be fine, gotcha. Right? Right, Mike? It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then, yes, but I actually want to talk about you because you put up your beautiful work. You look so beautiful in the videos of your show that we talked about before, but it's so nice because I didn't get to be there. So I'm like, I want to see it. Like, I've been hounding you. I'm like, I want to see it. So it's really nice to see. Guys, if you don't follow Mike, you got to follow him. He is just, you're just delightful and lovely and beautiful. I don't know why beautiful is what keeps coming to me, but when I see you and I see my friend like expressing themselves with all of their own art that they made, it just, it gets me verklempt. I love it. I love you. It's wonderful. But yeah, how do you feel?
Thank you. I feel a lot.
Yeah.
It's been rough on a couple of fronts as far as, you know, I'm using this software that I don't really know. And it's what I've been like, it's been like a learning process as far as like I will get a thing and then I'll hit a wall and then I'll be like, I don't know how to do this. So then I like shut down.
Yep.
And then like weeks later, I'll be like, just learn how to do this thing. And so then I'll spend hours learning to do this thing. Wow. And I'll be like, great, I did it. And then I'll hit another wall and I'll be like, I can't do it. So I keep like getting to that place where like, it's almost done. Like there are a handful of things that I want to fix. So I've been posting like minute long segments of the songs in my stories, which I think also then goes on Facebook. I don't know how anything works. But just sort of like putting out like teasers that way. And then I'm going to try to make like a little, you know, a teaser, like a sizzle kind of thing as well. But you're right. Like it's so complicated, but it's really hard because, it's just me staring at me and listening to me.
Yeah, I hear you.
And the negative thoughts are so pervasive. It's lovely to hear. People have said lovely things and I'm going to start crying, which is annoying, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard because I just see the flaws. I just see the things that I wish were better.
We do.
And I see the things that I wish I had done better. And I'm overall really proud of it and I'm really excited to share it. But the negative thoughts are really rough. Like they're really hard that I'm just trying to like push through and be like, you know what? It's an accomplishment. Like whatever it was an accomplishment and I did it. And I do want people to see it, but it's hard.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a very satisfying answer.
No,
but,
I think it's great. I hate watching myself too. I mean, I love to perform and I love to, you know, make people, entertain people. But watching myself back, I'm like, oh, you're such a stupid bitch. What's wrong with you? So I get it. Also, maybe next time we just save a little money and have someone edit it. So all you have to do is give notes. And you know what I mean? Like, because it is torture. It is torture. Like, having to edit. And then you're like, probably like, you're trying to fix things where you think and nobody else would ever think, you know, blah, blah, blah. But no, I think your answer makes a lot of sense. But that being said, that I really love, I love it. And I'm so genuine that I just, I don't know. It looks great. It makes me feel like I was there. You sound great.
Thank you. Thank you. I do think that it was captured well. You know, it was my friend Claire's husband, Brian. I could just say it's Brian. who, you know, like it's professional. Like he films things professionally and he brought a couple of cameras and he brought his sound equipment and like he hooked it. Like it really, like amazing. I am really happy overall with like the quality of it. Like I do think that it looks really good. It's just, once again, it's the invasive thoughts. It's just the thoughts that get in my head of like, you know, and I'm just going to say the things that you're not supposed to say, which is like, I just wish that I was thinner and I just wish that I was younger and I just wish that my hair looked better. And I just, you know, all those things that are not even really about the performance that are just, you know, those that catch me and they make me stumble. So I'm trying to push through that. And I am like, it should be out. It should be out like in the next week.
Yay!
I should have like the full, and it's right around like 51, 52 minutes long, which is a little bit longer than I wanted it to be, but I don't really want to cut anything else out. So it's just going to be, you know, what it is. And hopefully it'll be for consumption soon.
I love it. I can't wait. I wonder, could we do like an episode where it's, where you do the video for podcast for video so people could listen and watch? I wonder. I just to put it in one more place. Because Spotify for creators is what I'm looking at. Listen, guess what? I'm going to go figure out how this all works. And then if that's something you're interested in, then we could do it too.
All right.
Because
we'll
that would be cool. Because I know everyone, you know, that's about the amount of a podcast episode, 50 minutes, you know? It's great.
Yeah. If we get, I don't 100% know what you're talking about,
but
we'll talk more and figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, once again, I know we've been a little bit sporadic, trying to like find a way for us to connect more often, but we'll talk and we'll figure it out and we'll hopefully be back. Cause I have lots of other stuff to talk about.
Yes.
You know, we haven't even gotten to discuss the fact that I'm now very familiar with Lemonade, that brand new album to me, Lemonade, and my coworkers who every time that I say Slay, Trico, Yoga, Eliminated, they're like, what is happening? The other day I just went, stop interrupting my grinding. And someone was like, what is happening? But I can't. It's part of who I am now.
Oh, Mike, I love it so much. You know, that's the best album of hers. I really believe it.
It's pretty amazing. And I do want to talk about it more. I do like it.
Okay, well,
it is one of those albums that even
will
the first,
be yeah. completely dedicated to
our
Lemonade.
Our topic will be Lemonade.
I'm very excited.
All right, awesome. I love it. All right. I love you so much. I'm glad we got to talk about this.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you everyone for listening. And we'll keep you posted. And yeah, go listen and or watch The Full Monty, because it should be out when this comes out. And we'll figure out how to get you to it. Okay.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
All right. Talk later. Bye. Thanks for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursdays, so make sure you subscribe if you want to be a part of the journey. You can follow us on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and me at Mike Jensen 77. You can also listen to my other podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, with Elise Castle, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back. Oh my God, blanking.
Maya Rudolph. No. Amy Poehler. Somebody in the Melissa McCarthy.
Here we go. Gonna pretend this never happened.
Yeah.